All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining the podcast. This is John, your host of End of Effort. And I wanted to continue on with the message, how to end frustration and anger. This will be part three. And we'll just continue until we just sense that it's the end of the series here. But the interesting part is that whenever you... I don't know if you've noticed this about your own life, but whenever you share something, teach something, or demonstrate something on a musical instrument or just some gift that you have, it's amazing how in the process, when you lean into the oneness of love that you are, it's amazing how much revelation comes to your own life and how you get set free in that moment. That's why I'm a huge advocate of bending towards and leaning into the gift that you've been given from the foundation of the world. Jesus loves it. God himself loves it when we express the gifts that he's given us. You know, oftentimes people say to us, well, I don't know what it is. Well, it's real easy to discover what it is about your life that you enjoy doing. Number one, that's a real clue. Number two is it comes naturally to you, and it's an effortless flow. You know, you can, in other words, you could do it all day long and not get tired. Although it may be a challenge to, you know, figure out a new song or something like that. You know, there's a joy, there's an underlying joy to it, an underlying effortless ease underneath that thing, even though you're working through the elements of what it is. Say you're an artist and you love to paint. Well, you got to have some patience in there, right? In order for the masterpiece to become all it's supposed to be in your mind and in your heart of what you're seeing on that canvas. And so there's a working through and a working out of that. But nevertheless, it's a real joy to express your gift. And so when we're looking at the frustration and anger that a lot of people are in, especially now in a real adverse environment. And I hate to date these, but you know, we are going through the COVID thing worldwide. And what I've noticed is you'll see all over social media of just a myriad of different opinions and insights or just paradigms that they're in. Whoever it is, you know, it doesn't matter what denominational persuasion you're of, doesn't matter what your belief system is, whether you believe in God or not, or if you're just, you know, somebody that's been 30 years in a certain denomination, you are going to have a level of understanding that is based in your training. And here's what I always say is that if we're not careful, then we'll defend that paradigm right into stagnancy in growth. And have you ever met a grown man or a grown woman that acts like a seven-year-old? Often? Well, it's because they were stunted in their emotional growth in that time frame, whatever that was. So in other words, if an emotional deficit or emotional trauma happened, whether it was abandonment, rejection, or abuse of some kind, then they're going to be stunted in that trauma if they're not careful and if they don't grow or if they just don't see it, they're in an unconscious state, then that's where they'll remain. And so you have, therefore, that's what we call an orphan spirit a lot of times in certain church circles. Well, it's an orphan mentality. It doesn't mean that there's, quote, anything wrong with you. And I want to say this, and please hear what I'm saying. Oftentimes when we think that we beat ourselves up a lot and we go, oh man, I just hate feeling this way. Or man, I'm just such so stupid. Why would I say something like that? Why would I do that? You know, I just keep mulling over the same sin, or I seem to be stuck and I can't move past this. I just can't stand myself. I wish I was somebody else. Some of the most beautiful people in the world, models, supermodels, for example, or even male models, okay? Some of the most good-looking people in the world have the worst insecurities because of that very thing. See, they think they're trash because they're looking through a paradigm lens that says, I've been abandoned or rejected or abused, so therefore that's my identity. And how many of you know we've gotten a brand new identity when you've joined yourself with love, when you had your awakening and you first realized that, wait a minute, God is love and he loves me. Therefore, I'm taking on the love of a father, which I may never have had, or had a poor representation, whatever your upbringing was, right? You're taking on the identity of a true father. And that takes some working through and working out of that paradigm that you've been stuck in. That's why the word says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind according to that which is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. What does that mean? What that means is when we keep surrendering on a day-by-day basis and not trying to figure this thing out, just stop trying to figure it out, and we surrender everything to him. Not in a striving way. See, some people get caught up in that too. I'm gonna force myself to surrender and deprive myself of everything that's good and fun, just in hopes that God will see my obedience and then therefore come down and be so impressed that he'll just go ahead and deliver me. Look, guys, it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the goodness of who God is, period. While we were yet sinners, Christ made his decision to die for us before the foundation of the world. They had a discussion before you were ever a thought in your daddy's mind. So the issue is what we've been trained by in the world of religion or our upbringing. Maybe you haven't been raised in religion at all. Maybe you haven't been involved in a church of any kind, and that's fine. Sometimes you'd be better off, because a lot of religion has to be undone when you actually encounter oneness with love and its full reality. See, we have to be undone in those things, but maybe you didn't. The issue is that he's already made a way and he already loves us no matter what we have done, no matter what we choose to do. His love is always turned on full speed. Okay. Now, you and I both know if we just go out and do whatever we want, there's consequences for that. And I'm going to talk about what the power of ego, again, I'm going to use some scripture here and dissect it maybe in a way you haven't heard before, but I'm going to talk about the story of Peter denying Christ and then trying to take the servant, high priest servant's ear off. He's really going for his head in all indications, but he's swung and hit the ear, okay? And there's some prophetic symbolism in there, but I want to talk about that later. But I want to just kind of focus in on what this walk looks like in life, whether you know God or not. A lot of people are struggling right now during this COVID virus thing, or any time in life. But this has especially hit home to a lot of people from a lot of different walks in life. And what it does is it comes front and center, hits us right between the eyes of where we are actually at in our maturity level in life, or where we're at in our woundedness, where we're at in our just walk in general, okay? So maybe this has really thrown you for a loop. Maybe this has turned you inside out and upside down, and you're just like, what in the world happened? Everything was going seemingly, quote, good for me. I've had a good job, or I had a business, and everything was just humming along. I had all these dreams and plans, and now they're just shattered and ruined. You know, small businesses are going out of business just like crazy, like popcorn popping. It's just boom, there goes another one, you know? And you got to look at this if you can do this. Okay, if you can look inward and outward inside of yourself, meaning that if you can stop for a moment and just ask the question, not why me, God, but what does this mean for my life? That's a better question to ask. And here's why. When we say why me, God, that's ego screaming and gasping for air. And see, ego loves to fight for what's right. It loves to fight for answers. It loves to fight for its breath of existence to say, I've got this. I've got this. I've survived all these years. And so I've got this thing. So I'm going to double down on all my efforts, sweat and toil. And I'm going to find out and figure it out. See? And so what this means is when you're feeling this angst, when you're feeling anxiety, when you're having panic attacks, or you're just feeling lost and frustrated and confused right now, what that is not the real you. You're the observer on the inside of you. You're watching your ego freak out. You're watching your flesh man, another word, terminology for it. You're watching it trip out. Why? Because again, it's just gasping for its last breath. In other words, your spirit man is emerging in faith through this, whether you realize it, you're conscious of it or not. And what that's doing is it's pressing against the ego that's at war with it, saying, no, I got this. I got the spirit man saying everything's going to be okay. Just surrender and trust and follow the prompts in peace. And your ego's like, no way, we got to get something done now. I'm getting old, brother. You know what? I got to get something done now because my business is collapsing and everything's caving in on me and the world's going to end. And all this fear starts racking your brain and you start trying to analytically figure it out. How's that working out for you? That's my question. How's that working out for you? You're worn out, aren't you? So then you have to go do something to relieve the stress. Some people go and they do sexual things because that's their relief nozzle, pardon the pun. And other people have to go do some sports thing. Other people drink and binge drink. Some people binge eat. Whatever your vice is, that's the outlet because ego is screaming and it's loud in your life. See, if you've got a inner man that's strong by being built up from really disciplining yourself to stay in the now and to stay in that moment of surrender, no matter what it looks like, that's how spirit man grows and starts overpowering the voice of ego. We're not even talking about the devil here, guys. He might come in another layer later and start tormenting you with voices and things of the dark, shadowy things. But we just want to start at the very basic levels where most people are at. And that is their ego slash flesh is overpowering the still small voice and the bigness, the enormity of your spirit man, of their spirit man, following the leads and prompts of love to the next pasture or to remain in the pasture and just be at rest by the still waters, eating the green lush grass of his presence. See, oftentimes ego says, I'm not satisfied, with outward things. All right. This is where the fine line is of discerning the voice of God, yourself, your spirit man, and that ego thing that masquerades sometimes and shares voice with the enemy, but it's not always shadowy things. It's not always deceptive forces. Okay. The lying, deceiving one can come in, but the way people make him so big, people make him out to be like there's a million of them out there, or a trillion devils out there, right? We just make that part. And why is that? Why is that? Let's talk about that for a second, a little bit more. We like to cast blame and judgment on an entity rather than taking ownership of our own ego. See, when we take ownership of the loudness of our flesh out of control, or the ego just driving the show, when we take ownership of that, then we go, okay, what must I do and who must I be in this moment to overcome this adversity that's trying to choke me out? Well, that's real childlike. It's real simple. It's called surrender. Surrender and watching the magnetism start to happen. Again, I've said this before, it's not laziness. Laziness just refuses to do anything because you're in depression, basically, right? Laziness just says, you know what? God is going to do everything. And so I'll just wait here till my ship comes in and God comes and gets me. Listen, that is not what we're talking about. That is called just laziness and bad attitude, all right? God, how this rest thing works in the inner man is through surrendering in the moment, every moment, and not through striving, not through force, not through sweat and toil. What it is it's just letting go and relaxing, knowing that faith is going to work it out. Now, maybe you haven't known what trust is like. Maybe you had a rotten childhood and you had some abuse or abandonment, neglect there, and you don't know what a good dad is. You don't know what a good mom is, okay? You haven't seen it in your life. It was just fighting war and abuse, or just flat out neglect, or all of the above, right? I get it. This is where the renewing of your mind especially works. And not just scripture study, okay? Renewing of the mind. Let's think about that. The mind of Christ. So if I'm going to renew my mind to have and take on in oneness with the mind of Christ, then naturally I cannot do that in my own strength. I have to lean into the strength and the power that's already resonant in me through what? Surrender. Now, I know this is a challenge because your intellect and your ego and your mind wants to figure it out, right? It wants to keep telling you, the observer inside of you, your real man, your spirit man, it wants to keep telling you that you have to do something to figure this thing out in order to get healed, in order to make things happen and see them. But I have come to realize something, and I've cultivated something in my life to this point, and I've watched this happen, that every time I just say things like, and move accordingly internally through surrender, say things like, you know what, I'm going to trust you, Lord, whether I know how to or not, whether I believe it or not, I'm just going to speak it out that I trust you. And I know that Holy Spirit is right here. He's the great helper. Holy Spirit's going to help me. And when I say that out loud, something happens internally to start to get my inner man to believe what I am actually saying. It's not some formula. It's not a weird gimmick. It's just speaking something out that comes from out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and saying it out whether you believe it or not. It's interesting how this works. It's you start to believe it after a pattern of doing this for a while. And it's not just the speaking out. It's going out and just learning how to play in the midst of anguish. So in other words, when you're in the midst of a life-crushing situation, or you're in the midst of a COVID lockdown, or you're in the midst of just pain and turmoil of not having money, or not seeing the quote call fulfilled, and you have all these dreams, and so you're frustrated and confused and mad at everybody, including yourself. That is the best time to just say, Father, I know you got this. I may not believe it right now, but I know you've got this. I'm going to just let go and surrender, and I'm going to have fun creating what I love doing. Maybe you're an artist. Maybe you're a songwriter. Maybe you're a musician. Maybe you're a business person. Maybe you love tinkering around with new inventions. Maybe you love to minister. Maybe you're a worship leader. Whatever it is, you pick up that guitar, pick up the mic, pick up the keyboard, and start in doing what you enjoy. Now, here's where ego is going to lie to you again. And again, this isn't laziness, just going out and having fun all the time and not doing anything productive, even though that can be productive if ego is overpowering your life and you're frustrated and confused. There's a time for play, but there's also the play is found in your gift if you know what that is that you enjoy doing. Everybody has an innate sense of what it is. Just ask your best friend. Ask somebody that really loves you and knows you. They'll tell you, but then this is when you're going to have to believe that again and bypass ego and just believe it by faith. Okay? Again, this is a cultivation, and it may take a while, but the more you yield to it and surrender to it and say this thing, these things out loud each and every day, your mind will start taking on the mind of Christ, and ego will scream to the point of a still small voice, to where your spirit man will become louder than ego, trying to tell you it's not working. Okay? So, you like this. Picture this. If you can think of one of the greatest basketball players on the planet, you know, it's undoubtedly somebody like Michael Jordan, okay, for a number of reasons. Some people in modern day would be you know, you're not going to say it's equivalent, but like a LeBron James, you know, knows how to play the game well. And then some others that could be compared, okay? in different ways. Not exactly, but in different ways. You get the point. So Michael Jordan, when he was young, you know, he took his basketball and he's out there for hours and hours and hundreds and then thousands of hours just shooting the basketball. First of all, it's why? Because it was in his heart and he enjoyed it. He loved it. He may have had some dreams of grandeur being in the NBA and making millions of bucks, but I can tell you one thing, he wouldn't be as good as he was if he didn't have a love and a passion for that basketball and the game. Okay, so you can tell the difference when somebody's in it for the money, right? They're just in it for survival techniques versus a gift, versus a flow, versus a I'm in the zone because I am lost in the art. Okay, so what happened? He's out there, he has the basketball, he's getting lost in the play, but also getting lost in the rhythm and the flow of the discipline. See the difference? See, if you're doing something, if you're getting up at 4 a.m. and your body is screaming at you to sleep, then maybe you're more of a night person. Don't just, in other words, don't go against the grain if everything in you is screaming against it. What you want to do is listen to that pain in your body and then silence yourself for a moment and say, wait a minute, this is going against the grain of everything that I am. So I'm not going to yield to that anymore. Maybe it's something else. It's as simple as that, guys. The devil's not fighting us all the time, even though your egoic mind wants to say that. Okay. And most of the time it's something like, you know, an overpowering sense of, you know, I'm just in this misaligned place that I know that I'm in right now, but I'm actually moving towards doing what I enjoy and love, and I'm doing that on the side. And then eventually your faith is going to be built up to the point where you'll step out of it and move right in alignment with what your spirit man is calling for, okay? And an ego will tell you, man, you know what? Just give up. It's not worth it. Just give up and just stay doing what you're doing and be frustrated and numb and confused all the time. Well, there is a time and a place for that very adversity. What's it meant for is to silence ego. It's to expose the stuff that's in you from your childhood and show you how powerful your egoic mind has been, okay? I know I'm talking a lot about ego, but it's almost everything, guys, when we're looking at freedom and getting free and living the victorious life here. The church doesn't like to talk about it. They want to cast blame on every demon in town. But I'm telling you, this is ego, that egoic things inside of you want to cast blame and judgment on everything else and not take responsibility. So the responsibility part of this is to say, okay, wait a minute. Maybe I'm in training and development and I may not enjoy what I'm doing right now, but maybe it's developing something deeper in me in leadership or deep, you know, cultivating patience in me, cultivating long suffering, cultivating kindness in me, even though I may not like it. Okay. There's a difference between you knowing that God is doing something in you and it's for your good and versus abuse. You know when you're being abused. You know when it's gotten to that point where it's so difficult, so challenging that it's just taking you out. That, again, listening to your body. But if you're in just an adverse, challenging situation, like, you know, the boss gets in your face or he asks you to do something you don't want to do, that's when you stop for a moment and go, okay, Lord, how are you developing me in this? How are you growing me in this? Is this a difficult situation that's challenging me for something deeper, for in alignment with my call that you are actually growing me into and for? Here's the example with Jesus. You know, oftentimes we just think, okay, it's finished, and so therefore I don't need anything adverse anymore. Can I just tell you that you do, and I do? It's called growth. It's called maturing. It's called being put into difficult situations so you can see how powerful your ego has been, so that the opposite is cultivated if you stay free from bitterness. And God will protect you from that. He'll tell you when it's time. He'll show you when it's abuse. You know, when Joseph was stuck in prison, he said, well, I've been in prison, just like Joseph. Well, yes, and that's adversity, right? But you didn't die. I realize that some people do, but they don't allow their ego to be busted wide open. And so therefore they double down and then they die in prison or something, right? Or adverse situations. And so because you're not like that, it was hard, or it is hard and difficult, just like it was for Joseph, but the transition happens somewhere in his heart. The relenting, the surrendering to, so that Joseph could actually arise in a depth that he otherwise wouldn't have if he didn't have that adversity in his life. See, adversity really causes us to have some real depth of maturity. People that haven't gone through anything, they're just spoiled sometimes. You know, I'm not saying everyone, but a lot of people that you meet that haven't gone through anything challenging are just spoiled. And then they're like, in other words, they're shallow. Yeah. So anyway, Matthew 26, and this is in the Passion Translation. And we know the story is this is the whole betrayal of Jesus with Judas. And then it goes right into the Lord's Supper. And then Jesus prophesies Peter's denial. Okay. He says this to Peter, before the night is over, you will all desert me. He says, you know, he says this in front of everyone, his disciples, the followers. He said, you will all desert me, not just you, Peter, but every one of you are going to leave me. This will fulfill something. It will fulfill the prophecy of the scripture that says, I will strike down the shepherd and all the sheep will scatter far and wide. Okay, and I'll explain some of that in a minute. But after I am risen, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and will meet you there. Then Peter spoke up and said, even if all the rest lose their faith and fall away, I will still be beside you, Jesus. Why? Because I have ego leading the show, Jesus. I'm going to do this thing myself in my own strength, and nobody's going to tell me any different because that's how strong I am. In other words, I'm listening to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I haven't learned yet how to move beyond the egoic law-driven mindset to make my abode in the tree of life, where flow and effortless ability resides. That's in you, Jesus. I haven't learned that yet because my ego is still so strong and so powerful and so sweaty that I'm going to do this in my own strength. And then Jesus says, you go, Peter. You go, boy. You got this. No, he says, basically, he kind of does. But and then Jesus says in his brilliance, he goes, are you sure, Peter? I love it how he always responds with a question, right? Are you sure about that, Peter? Because, you know, we're still working on your ego here. I mean, you've got a lot of law in you before I showed up, and I already knew that from the foundation of the world. But here I am, love in front of you, love in human skin, love showing you the way of the fruit of the Spirit. And your ego is showing, Peter. Your ego is showing. The works of the flesh, in other words, are showing in you, Peter. And so that's okay, though. I'm going to work with you, and I'm going to help you, and I'm going to show you the way. And Jesus said, in fact, before the rooster crows a few hours from now, you will have denied me three times. In other words, you will have denied the Trinity, the Godhead bodily standing in front of you. The rooster crowing three times. It's your wake-up call, Peter. What do roosters do at 3 and 4 a.m.? Especially in Hawaii. 4 a.m., roosters on Kauai are cockle-doodle-doing. And so what does he say? You're going to deny the Godhead. And as brutal as that sounds, what he's saying is your ego is more powerful than the dance, the Trinity dance. And because you've taken your stand in your knowledge and you've chosen to try and walk this life out outside of the tree of life, what I'm going to do is illuminate to you, Peter, and I'm going to show you the way. I'm going to light your path, and I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you, but I'm going to show you the path to life. I'm going to show you what it means to walk in oneness in the tree of life with me so that we can diminish the knowledge, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And do you know that word evil, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that word evil translates as sweat and toil? Translates everything annoying. Yeah, get that. Listen to that. Evil translated in the original language, annoyances. What does ego do? Ego is annoying to yourself and to those that love you. It's annoying. You ever see a drunk guy in the midst of a bunch of sober guys out partying somewhere? And guess who's the annoyance? The one that's full-blown drunken ego. And all the sober dudes are looking at him like, shut up, dude. You're like, get sober up. Your ego is showing. You know what I'm saying? It's like the same thing with a friend of mine. Lives in Hawaii, he's a surfer, he's an awesome surfer, and he talks about when guys try to challenge, have tried to challenge in the past of just their territory out on the water and the waves, and their ego is showing. It's annoying. And so what does it do? It recognizes spirit on the water in human skin on a surfboard. And so what does it want to do? It wants to challenge that light that's on the surfboard, and the ego tries to take it out and remind the light on the surfboard that it's part of ego too. See, like attracts like, and if there's any ego showing in that person, then it's going to attract them and draw the anger out to react. That's what ego does. And then the enemy gets all mixed up in there at some point, possibly, and makes it look like it's a demon. So what do Christians do? We rebuke the demon before we look at our own ego matching the frequency of theirs. See, there's something about water that actually resonates with the water in us because we're made of 70% or more water. And because we're mostly made of water, then what does it do? The frequency of that attracts it to itself. And that's why we love to pray. That's why we love to worship. That's why we love to go and walk along the ocean, because there's a frequency there that really bears witness with ours, because we're made of the stuff. Okay? And that's the same thing that ego does, guys. You're going to have to listen to this over and over again. I'm telling you, if you listen to this recording several times and just chew on this, then you'll just become awakened and start to see the freedom in what is being said. It's powerful when you start becoming aware of this very existence that ego has been trying to do to your life. It's really a not what you're made of, but it wants you to believe you are. You're not ego. You are not that flesh part of you. You're just in a dirt man observing that dirt man on its journey. See, your body is taking a journey where your spirit's already been, because your spirit, that's why we have deja vu moments, okay? Won't get into that right now. But because your spirit is eternal, it's always been, your body's just taking this journey. And so what does your body do? It sides with the dirt man side of things, which is ego, and then starts blaming the devil for everything, you know, because we love to blame. Ego loves to blame. Not the real you, not the spirit you, not the God part of you that's intertwined with you. No, it's the fallen part that loves to do that. So Peter replied again, I absolutely will never deny you, Jesus, even if I have to die with you. See how it escalates when it gets challenged? It starts to gasp for its air, gasp for breath, especially when love confronts it. So love is confronting it in love. And Jesus says, in fact, before the rooster crows, a few hours from now, you will have denied the Godhead bodily. You'll have denied the very thing of love. Because why? Because your ego is going to flare up and try to defend itself. And so here we go. I mean, here's Jesus no sooner speaks it, and then Peter doubles down in his ego and says, I absolutely will never deny you, even if I have to die with you, Jesus. Oh, that's noble, isn't it? Yeah, that's a noble cause. That's a noble thing to say to somebody that knows it all, right? And see, love is so big and so vast and so enormous, because that's what your spirit is made of, that it looks at that and goes, oh, okay. All right, but you know what? You can try to defend and stand in your egoic side of things all you want, but love is going to swallow you up. Love is bigger than the EGO, edging God out. It's bigger than that whole entity of our stance and our posture in our paradigm thinking, or our level of understanding in the moment, that's based out of childhood trauma. So then the story goes, then Jesus led his disciples to an orchard called the oil press. Here we go. Here's where the press happens. See, when ego tries to defend itself, then there's always a press, a challenge, a difficulty, a COVID-19 situation, a lockdown. Okay, a traumatic adverse situation that comes as a love message to reveal the powerful stance we have taken in that level of understanding called the ego. And so if we're aware enough, okay, we will begin to say, oh, okay, what does this mean? We'll ask the question, what does this mean for my life? Instead of, oh my gosh, why me? Why does the devil have to keep me on isolation? Type of thing, right? And I'm not saying God sends disease and sickness and all of that, because he already paid for it on the cross. But you gotta remember something. Like attracts like. And so if you're powerfully filled with ego, what are you going to do? You're going to attract egoic situations to your life. And then when you see it for what it is before disaster strikes, right? Here's an example. You're blowing through red lights all the time because you have a fast car and you like to show it off and burn through the stoplight with, you know, the V8 motor in your awesome Challenger car, or your new Camaro or your new Corvette or whatever, Ferrari or scooter for some of those that have less money in the account. And you're sitting there, showing off in your egoic stance, and you want to burn through the stoplight. Well, guess what you just attracted? You broke the law, so here comes the law. In other words, your ego broke something open to bring magnetism to your life. And there you go. You just got the ticket. I think that's called sowing and reaping. Okay. So many people blame God for that. Why would you let this happen to me? Oh, really? Oh, really? Oh, okay. Love let this happen to me. Or was that your lead foot and your ego was showing? I mean, let's get real about this. We have to take some ownership again. Okay. So Peter prophesies his own denial by letting his ego show and bounce off of love, right? He's like, hey, I'll never deny you. Bam, there it goes. Okay, you just drew the rooster in. You just drew the 3 hours later in. You just drew it and busted it wide open to bring about the denial in your life. This is why it's so important to take on the mind of Christ, the mind of love. Okay. Then Jesus led his disciples to an orchard called the oil press. He told them, sit here while I go and pray over there. He took Peter, Jacob, and John with him. However, an intense feeling of sorrow, great sorrow, plunged his soul into deep sorrow and agony. And he said to them, my heart is overwhelmed and crushed with grief. It feels as though I'm dying. Stay here and watch with me. You know, this is a picture of the depths that love will go to be tested in all points without actually moving into the effects of missing the mark, because he was fulfilling prophecy. He was fulfilling a scroll. He was walking out his destiny. Okay. So what he was doing is displaying something to them, to their own hearts. Look, guys, I'm following the will, but I'm also showing you what you're tempted in and tested in all points. In other words, I'm revealing something to you that's powerful here. your will as opposed to mine. In other words, your will in egoic stance versus letting go and surrendering into oneness with the Lord and letting him lead your life. Okay. Then we know the story. He moves into, you know, he found them sleeping. And this is what ego will do, guys. It will keep you asleep in unconsciousness. Meaning that you won't be able to see clearly and hear clearly when you keep plowing through the china shop, busting china all over the place because you want it your way and you're calling it God, right? You're pushing through and you're forcing through because after all these demons are opposing my destiny. All these devils are opposing my life from having prosperity. All these devils are just blocking my way of being seen and being known and being something, making a name for myself, right? Where everybody knows your name. You're walking into Cheers Bar because you want everybody to know your name. And all they see and smell is ego because ego attracts ego. Like attracts like. And so if you really want to live in life, if you really want to know the will of God and walk in the will of God, then it's the very thing that's opposite of ego. Again, it's love, surrendering into love and trusting whether you trust it or not, but you're leaning in anyways, saying, God, I know you're going to help. I know you're going to help me walk through this. And knowing that each day is the will of God when you live in that surrendered fashion. You just know that it is. Whether you see anything happening or not, that's not the point. The point is that you know that you can trust that you are in the will of God, and that what'll start happening is when you take that posture, then ego won't bring the disgusting, hard things all the time to your life. You'll begin to see magnetism of favor of goodness. Now, don't think it's going to happen overnight. It could, and to some degree, but we're not on a microwave mentality here. We are eternal beings in a stint here in human flesh on planet Earth, walking out a service of love to everyone around us. So it may take a little bit longer, but why are you in a hurry? Seriously, stop and ask yourself for a minute, aside from ego, because ego is always trying to push you and force you and make you turn into a big ball of hurry. But your spirit isn't, because your spirit's eternal. It's at rest. It's seated in heavenly places with love, joined at the hip, joined in union, joined in oneness with love, far above all the warfare of ego. That's where you're seated in your spirit man continuously. The fight is ego trying to dictate and determine your times and seasons of when it should happen, or when this should be out of my life, when this should be in my life. When is it going to happen, God? When, God, when? Like Joyce Meyer always famously says, when, God, when? Is it ever going to happen for me? And I can tell you for a fact that if you're saying that, then ego is just, you know, it just still has a big voice in your life. But no condemnation. This isn't about condemnation. Why? Because you're not in a hurry, right? You got an entire lifetime to do this thing. And if you don't walk out what you think you should be doing, or you think your calling should be, or you think your how much money is supposed to be in your wallet. And you know what? And it takes eternity, then who cares? But see, you can't say that if your ego is still leading the show. Why not enjoy the journey today when you have no money? Why not enjoy your life today when you don't see the things manifesting? Why not be grateful now? John, how can you say that? It's easy for you to say you've got stuff, man. I do? Really? Okay. Yeah, I do have stuff. You know what that is? It's eternal. I got all the goods I ever need or want or desire, all wrapped up in him in oneness and union with the man, the Godhead, who can deliver it all in a split second. But would that be good for me? I don't know. I mean, if it could have happened any other way, it would have. Somebody coined that one real well. If it could have happened any other way, it would have. And if you're supposed to have something, you've already have had it. And when you get something, it comes right on time when it's supposed to happen. That's the real law of attraction. When you're supposed to get it, you'll have it. Well, man, I could miss the mark. I could make a wrong decision. I could take a left when I'm supposed to take a right. What if I miss the mark? okay, are you in a hurry again? Is it? Are we going back to that again? Or does God have every opportunity to get it to you 1,000 different ways? It's like he has 1,000 different ways of getting you to a place called there, but you're already there. So why not just relent and surrender to the there and you'll be there? Because you're already there. You're eternal. You're already there. It's just in your mind, your ego saying, I got to be to a place called there because then I'll have more money. I'll have more success. I'll have more fame. I'll have more delight. I'll have more fun. I'll have more happiness. Well, why can't you have that now? Because you already do have it now in your spirit man. It's your ego that says you don't have it now, but your spirit man already has it. See the war? See the game? See the fight? That's the difference. See, we go and move, and I'm going to wrap this up so I can do another part again. We move from selfish ambition in our lives to a place called meaning. One person coined it, I moved from the morning of my life, which is called ego and selfish ambition or just ambition in general, drive and striving and force, and shifted over into a place called meaning within me, into the afternoon of my life. It's a great way to put it because when you move from the morning to the afternoon, then you understand something. It's about living aside from ego and out of this huge, enormous place called spirit intertwined with love. And when we do that, then we want to give out in service with no thought of how it's going to come back to us in return. And that, my friends, is when God gives you the good stuff. That's when things start to overtake your life right when you need it. The physical things, the material things begin to pop up and show up. Maybe not like you thought, but right when you need it and what you need for the time that you're in. Some people think they need $1 million and they don't need $1 million right now. What do you need $1 million for? Do you have an answer for that? In service, do you have an answer for that? Well, yeah, John, I could start a business and all that. Oh, really? Okay, where is that in your scroll? I mean, are you really called to start a business? And we'll get into that later. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. I'm going to wrap it up there. We're already 47 minutes in, and I appreciate, never take for granted those that are listening to this. And thank you, because I can really feel the pulling on the oracle that comes out of my mouth. Because all I'm doing, friends, is just leaning into oneness right now, opening my mouth and just letting love say what love wants to say. So I hope this helps. And please give us your comments in return. Love to hear from you. And until next time, it's the end of effort, baby.